Boy Parts, written and read by Eliza Clark.
Dean/Daniel. I'm sick in my mouth on the bus into work. I swallow it down. The sandwich I ate at the bus stop is still identifiable by texture and flavour. When the bus pulls over, I wobble on my heels. I imagine going over on my ankle, the bone snapping and breaking the skin. I imagine taking a photo in A&E and sending it to Ryan. Yikes, guess I can't come in. But I can't make myself fall over. It's like trying to keep your head under shallow water. You just can't. "You all right there, Petal?" asks the bus driver. "Just about," I say. I get to the bar half an hour late. We were supposed to open at 12. Ryan won't be here till 1 at least. I press my forehead against the cool glass of the door, repeatedly miss the lock with the key, and leave behind a smear of pale foundation. I do the bare minimum to open and carefully sip water till Ryan gets in. He whines at me for getting makeup on the door again and for failing to take the chairs down from the tables on the mezzanine. He calls it the mez. My head throbs. He asks me what time I got in, 4 a.m, I say 2, and if I'm hungover, no. Then leaves me alone at the bar while he fannies on in the office. I chop fruit in peace for an hour. I kill 6 lemons and flay a pineapple. I leave the limes. The taste of my last shot of tequila is still sour on the back of my tongue. I hear them before I see them. Men in suits marching down the street. 12 of them. They burst in, shouting, red-faced, thoroughly impressed with themselves, and I'm stuck mixing old fashions for half an hour. They complain I'm taking too long. I offer them a Manhattan as a quicker alternative, and the leader of the pack scoffs. His designer tie is loose, and he flicks open the top button of a monogrammed shirt. An enormous watch cuffs his thick wrist. Great pains have been taken to appear visibly wealthy. Probably Al fur coat and knee knickers, as me mom would say. A bit girly for us, darling. It's basically the same as an old-fashioned, it's just a bit quicker to make, I say, each hand twirling a bar spoon through 2 glasses. His eyes are fixed on my tits, so he doesn't catch me sneering. "They're pink, aren't they? Aren't those pink?" "No. It's bourbon-based?" I think he's getting it mixed up with a cosmopolitan. He doesn't want it, regardless. They ascend to the mezzanine and complain loudly about how long they waited. They don't tip. Of course they fucking don't. I'm praying it's just going to be the one round, but they buy 2 bottles of Akintoshin and I am in hell. It is an effort not to stand with my head in my hands or sit down on the floor or vomit into the bucket of ice they make me bring them. I try putting a Mertzbau album on over the sound system to chase them out. It's funny for about 3 tracks, but they just think the speakers are broken and the noise makes my headache worse. The leader separates from the pack. He comes downstairs and leans against the bar. I wait for him to buy another bottle, but he just starts talking to me. Talking and talking and talking. His slicked back hair is thinning and a strand of it keeps flopping in front of his eyes. He slaps it back into place as if he's killing a fly. "I'm a partner, you see," says the suit. Receive pronunciation. He can't be local. A home county's transplant, a coloniser. He probably lives with all the footballers up in Northumberland and brags to his city boy friends about how his Darris Hall mansion only cost him $1 million, how he lives next to Martin Duprovka, and how, really, quality of life is just so much better up here as long as you keep away from the rough bits.